to episode 8 of the F&M Roundup. I am Ryan, and I'm joined, as always, by Josh.
Hello.
So today, we are going to get into some sweet stuff. We're going to do the F&M Roundup about actually a Tiny Leaders tournament that you played in, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
And our main topic is going to be about Pauper, which is super exciting. So these are some different formats that we've been really enjoying lately. But before we get into that, just a few housekeeping things. So me and Josh have started a YouTube channel. It's called the F&M Roundup. You can find it on YouTube. And I'm starting a Twitter account as well. I'm going to post all this stuff in the show notes underneath. But we've got a few videos up on the YouTube channel, and there's going to be more coming. We're going to be doing these quite a bit. So I just did like a two-man Pauper queue as the first video just to test it out, see how it went. And then I also did a Dragons of Tarkir draft. And Josh is going to be posting some on there too, and we're going to do some together. But that's on there for now. It's good content. There's some hilarious stuff happened in the draft that I did. That was really funny. But yeah, go watch it because it was actually hilarious. And anything you want to say about the YouTube channel?
I think it was the first video, like in the last 5 minutes, that the hilarity happened.
Yeah, I actually might just post like a little snippet of it because it was so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's not spoil it. So it was pretty awesome. I encourage you to check it out. We're just starting out, but we are going to be expanding and doing some cool stuff online that you guys can interact with and go see. So yeah, it's really exciting and something that we both enjoy doing. So that being said, let's get into our roundup here. So F&M Roundup last weekend, or I guess it wasn't on the weekend.
No, it was like a Wednesday Tiny Leaders tournament.
Yeah. So let's start off. What is Tiny Leaders?
So Tiny Leaders is this really quirky format. So the idea is you can't play anything with converted mana cost higher than 3. So you can play things with 3, but no 4 drops and nothing higher than that. It's a kind of like a commander type format. So you get to have a commander in the command zone who it can't also be higher than 3. And you can only play one of any card in your deck, aside from, of course, basic land. And what separates it quite differently from, aside from the 3 converted mana cost rule, is you only have a 50 card deck.
So it's sort of like a small commander type thing.
It's small commander.
Half the size decks, and you can only have 3 mana cost things.
Yeah.
So it's a Highlander.
Also, you in tournament play, you start with 25 life.
Sweet. And so, you also can only have colors in your deck that your commander has.
Oh, yes.
So if
your commander's color identity, which is a little bit different than its colors.
Yeah.
Because you'll have things like a blue commander.
Like Xu Yun.
Yeah, like Xu Yun, who has a red and white activated ability, and its color identity is actually 3 colors.
Yeah. So say if your commander is Xu Yun, you can only play red, blue, or white spells in your deck.
Yes.
You can't play any other colors.
So this is a really interesting format because if you look at a lot of the Eternal formats, most of their decks are actually all built under 3 converted mana cost anyway, right?
Yeah, like Legacy, Vintage, stuff like that.
Well, even Modern. Like,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of Modern decks are just all under convert or 3 CMC,
unless
or they're
like
hacking it out,
yeah,
or they have like Delve things.
This is
whatever.
A weird combo of hacking out like a Grizzlebrand.
Yeah, or you know, or you're playing Control and you're just trying to get the match to go long, or you know, and you know, it's not at all like a fixed rule. There's a lot of stuff with 4 CMC in those formats, but they're fast formats, and there's a lot is under CMC, and that all translates really well to Tiny Leaders. What's really cool about this format is that it's Highlander, right? So it tends to be a really interesting mix of Legacy and Modern, and then Draft immediately afterwards, which is the really interesting part of it. And especially because I'm not actually making these decks as optimal as I could if I chose to put a little bit more money into it. You know, the when I'm playing like on Cockatrice or something along those lines, I'm gonna be playing a little bit more value cards. And you know, this format isn't played as seriously as the other ones in my local area, so it everyone is kind of on that same field, and it leads to some really, really interesting deck choices.
Yeah. So, did you want to talk about it versus any other? Did you want to talk about it versus like draft or whatever? Like, how does it differ from like limited?
Well, what's really cool, it's very, very different than limited, but what's really interesting is that there are actually some of my favorite limited cards that I've put in this deck just because they synergize really well. They put on a lot of pressure and I have room for it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any Tarmogoyfs, but I can't play four Tarmogoyfs. So, like, my two-drop spot is so open.
Yeah.
Right?
So, let's talk about your deck specifically. So, who is your commander?
Anofensa is my commander.
Anofensa the foremost.
Right? Yeah, Anofensa the foremost. Not the
double white one. Yeah. So, why did you choose Anofensa specifically? Like, why did you choose these colors first?
Well, I chose these colors mostly because I just happen to have a lot of cards in these colors.
Yeah,
because
you've been playing this these colors in Standard for the last, like,
three years. Yeah, I have been playing it for a while.
And, like, there's different options. Like, Doran is an option that comes up quite a bit. Why do you like Anofensa over Doran?
Because I have Anofensa and I don't have Doran.
Is that the only reason?
Well, you know, Anofensa puts out counters, so if she's out longer, she can take over the game a little more.
Right.
You can have her out, you can tap her a couple times, she generates value, and then she can die, and then you still have that value on the field. Sure. She is the more popular commander online. Like, you know, Doran is not seeing as much play as Anofensa.
Right.
However, the lists are very similar.
Is the exile ability relevant on Anofensa? Because it exiles creatures as they go to the graveyard. Are there people doing weird Delve shenanigans that you've seen? Or
not really.
Not really? Okay. Cool. I guess because like the big Delve payoff is to play big spells with high mana cost for cheap, and you can't do that.
Or to hack something out in the graveyard.
And you can't do that here.
You can't really do that here. Cool. And even if you could, the consistency on these decks is a little bit... off because you can only play one of the combo pieces, right? When you're just, like, I'm trying, with this deck, I'm trying to play a big 3-drop. So I can play freaking Anofensa, I can play Kitchen Finks.
Loxodon Smiter.
I can play Loxodon Smiter. These are all just massive freaking 3-drops, right?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't need to be especially consistent.
Cool. So why don't we talk about some of the list that you were playing. So the Anofensa list you're playing is pretty standard. Like, if you go onto like MTG Goldfish or whatever, and you click on Anofensa Tiny Leaders, your deck's pretty similar.
Yeah, most of my deck is going to be, you know, you're going to find people playing these cards online. They're powerful cards. They're the cards that see play in Eternal formats, right?
Right.
Like, it's like Kazili, Pride Mage, Scavenging Ooze. I fit Strangler Geist in there. You know, he's Eternal played. He's played in Modern. Loxodon Smiter, right?
Like, go for the
Decay.
Yeah,
go for the Throat. Like, Lingering Souls. Like, they're powerful cards. They're jammed in here. I have a couple choices that I want to mention because these are cards that I jammed in here that
sure.
I liked. Like, they're almost limited only cards from the last couple years.
Sure.
So the first one is Drag Mangler. And this is a 3-drop, a colorless, black and a green for a 3/3 with haste. And it has scavenge. So you can, for 5 mana, you can exile it from your graveyard and put 3+1/+1 counters on a creature you control.
Sweet.
And this card really wasn't played in Constructed. Oh, it's from Return to Ravnica.
Yeah. It's a cool card.
Yeah,
like
it's a powerful card. It's got some sweet synergies in the deck.
It's big as well.
Yeah, it's big and it's got haste.
Yeah.
So and as well, I have room in my 3-drop spot. You know, like, ideally, I'm sure I could probably find something a little better to fill up that spot.
Sure,
but it's still a fairly powerful card. So the next card that I want to mention is Ulvenwald Tracker. This is from, I believe, Avacyn.
Yeah, Avacyn Restored.
Avacyn Restored. So it costs a green. It's a 1/1. It has an ability that's a colorless and a green, and it taps for a target creature you control, fights target creature you don't control. And I don't think this card actually ever saw any constructed play either. It's obviously a bomb. It's a rare, so it's a kind of a bomb in limited, right?
Yeah, like you just pair this with big creatures and kill their stuff, like and with what you're playing. Yeah.
What is cool with this deck is actually Anafenza is one of the biggest cards in the format, aside from of course the Hydras because they have X in their converted mana cost, so they can be low. But a lot of times I'm just eating things with Anafenza because she's so freaking big, and it's kind of a cool choice. So the next card is an M15 Sunblade Elf.
Yeah, an uncommon for that.
Uncommon. So it costs a green. It's a 1/1. It gets +1/+1 if you control a Plains.
Which you usually do.
You always do. You know, you're using fetch lands to get your Temple Gardens, right?
Right.
Or I don't have any of the duels, which are actually the original duels, which are legal in this format. But
that's funny.
So this has an ability, which is kind of the reason to play this is it has an ability that's 4 colorless and a white for creatures you control get +1/+1 until end of turn.
Sweet.
So because this format tops out at 3 mana, you're actually hurting for things to do at like later 10 on. Mana, right?
Yeah, like,
and this gives you something really relevant to do at that.
It's cool. A mana sink later in the game when you've played all your 3 drops.
Yeah.
And you've got 8 mana sitting on the table. And the game goes long, and you can just activate that for value.
And it's the same thing with Elvenwald Tracker.
Yeah, and you know, same with Dragmangler. Like, you just scavenge it back.
Yeah.
Like, that's really cool. It acts kind of like a 5-drop, +3/+3 spell.
Also, I want to mention how just really, really powerful Gavinny Township is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's just
like...
Yeah,
that's retarded.
You'll have, like, a Mana Ramper or something. Oh, well, Lingering Souls is a dream. But you'll have, like, a Mana Ramper out and Gavinny Township, and you and your opponent will just be top decking. You're just like, okay, make my Mana Ramper slowly a 10-10 and kill you with it.
Yeah. That's really awesome. That's so awesome.
So what just makes puts this format over the edge for me is these 3 picks are just they're not the best picks for their individual slots, and I have better options.
Right.
But the thing is, I'm playing in addition to these cards, the cards that I would want to be playing in these individual spots on the mana curve. And because you can only have one of everything, it actually gives a lot of leeway in deck building to have some weird deck or some weird card choices.
Yeah, that's really fun. It's something that I like to do. Like sometimes in standard, I'll have like a pet card, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, this card's awesome. I love it. It's really cool. I want to play it. But I just play 4 of this other card, which is strictly better.
Yeah.
But in Tiny Leaders, you're like, well, I can actually play this card now because there's only one card better than it.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
similar. And you get to play, you know, 4 different things that are very similar. But
and, you know, Dragmangler, I actually have found some lists that are playing Dragmangler.
Cool. And it's actually kind of like, you know, like in Modern Burn, you play like 5 different Lightning Bolts.
Yeah.
Where like in this, you get to play 5 different Dragmanglers or whatever.
Yeah.
That are like similar, you know, but this one's just slightly worse than like something a little bit bigger. So that's really cool. This format seems awesome. I definitely need to build one of these decks. I actually have like all the pieces for Anafenza as well.
Well, the funny thing is that this is just kind of the compilation of like maybe
standard decks for the last 3 years.
Well, standard decks and modern decks.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So we have like a playset of everything that's in here.
Yeah, so we can easily just build it.
Yeah.
Like multiple copies. Do you want to talk about, like, what's the metagame look like? Like, Shu Yun is pretty popular.
Shu Yun
like,
is popular.
Maybe just go over a couple decks
Anafenza
to see what they
popular.
Are.
Elves are popular with Azuri as their commander.
Oh, sweet.
He has an ability that sinks a bunch of mana and gives all your creatures, like, +3/+3 or something. So you play, like, a dozen rampers and then all give them +6/+6
and
swing.
Yeah.
And
it feels kind of like a combo deck.
Yeah.
And there's not really that many relevant wraths in this format.
Yeah, what
there's Drown in Sorrow and, like, Anger of the Gods could be played.
Bonfire the Damned.
Red has the best ones, yeah.
Scariest wraths, right? And having said that, Pernicious Deed is in the format.
Yeah.
Also, Toxic Deluge, I believe, is the card, the 3-drop that you pay X life to give everything minus X.
Oh, yeah.
So there are, like, some powerhouse wraths, but I find that just because you're playing a lot of things with really high toughness...
Yeah, you're playing 3 or 4 fours. Yeah.
You're dodging all of them. It's just like, yeah, anger the gods me, bro.
Yeah, that's funny. That's awesome. So, yeah, Shuyun's popular.
And Shuyun is pretty awesome.
So
it looks like Delver.
It
looks like the Delver that we used to see in Modern and the Delver that we are currently seeing in Legacy.
Sweet.
That's what that deck looks like. It's so sweet.
Cool. Anyway, if you want to check out more about Tiny Leaders, I definitely think it's a cool format. You use like you can go on MTG Goldfish.
I would suggest MTG Goldfish.
Yeah.
Yes. They post decks from kind of a shorter time frame, and I believe they're mostly posting decks from MTGO dailies. They probably have some main tournaments and things like that.
Sure.
But most of the information on Tiny Leaders is probably going to be from MTGO.
Cool.
Because it's not a very popular format.
Yeah, but it seems like a really fun format to play with your friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. So that was your roundup of that. So let's move on to our main topic here. So we're going to talk about another sweet format.
Another not very popular format.
That we have just been crushing and having a really fun time with, and that is Pauper. So Pauper is a sweet format. So why don't you talk about what Pauper is, and then we'll go from there.
So Pauper, it is every common ever printed...
Is legal in it. But only commons.
But only commons.
So no uncommons, no rares, no mythics,
yeah.
Just commons.
You have some interesting things where a card is printed as a common and then later printed as an uncommon, or even actually in some cases printed as a rare later.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, it's
hilarious. Get to play with ridiculous cards.
I forget which card that was exactly, but I remember it was for one of them.
Yeah, but you get to play with... like, you get to play with Ponder and Preordain.
Yeah.
And you get to play with, like, Rolling Thunder and, like, some sweet cards.
Yeah, you get to play with some staples of formats. Like,
Staples of Legacy
like,
Vintage.
Yeah, like Delver and Gush is a...
Gush is
a staple,
you get to
right?
play Counterspell. Like, actual Counterspell. Like, this format is absolutely insanely fun. And it's cheap.
Yes.
Like, I built... Oh, and... The part of the reason why we're really into this format right now is because Magic Online has started doing a daily every day for Pauper.
Yeah.
Where before, they only did dailies on the weekend, so you couldn't really, you know, grind them and play them as much. But now it's becoming more popular and Magic Online has more tournaments to play in. I recently built a deck. The price tag for the whole deck is like $5.
It's probably a little
more. Well, I added a couple pieces that were like $3 or something.
Once
so it's probably up to like $15.
Once you break the bank and you buy a couple $2 cards.
Yeah, I think it's up to like maybe $10, $15 tops.
Yeah, like that's
for common. A tier one deck.
Yeah.
And
there are a couple expensive decks and expensive cards in the format.
There are.
But you're only ever, even if you get that, you're probably at like $40.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Maybe you could get to $100, but that's only on one deck and you're doing one build with that deck.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, running like 4 days.
Yeah, days is the one card that is a little bit expensive that I don't have yet,
yes.
But I'm going to get it. Like,
yeah.
I love this format. So
I want to mention real quick that... I do like kind of the collectability aspect of Magic, and, you know, like, I totally collect the cards. I have my series of Modern decks. I've had my series of Standard decks. You know, like, it's a collection. They're expensive. You have to find them. You have to work for it. I really like Pauper because you don't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
You just slam $10 on the table, and you
look
tell the internet to give you a deck.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
let's... I want to talk... So, sorry, do you have
this
something
is,
else to say?
This is really, really nice for MTGO because you can just go on MTGO, buy it, and immediately start playing. Because I actually... I'm not the biggest fan of having a deck on MTGO.
Right.
I know you have a couple ones, and I love actually playing them. Or you probably have one or something along the lines of that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So I have had Standard decks in the past, but, like, right now, like, I actually cashed in on Mono Blue. Like, I bought Thassa and Master of Waves when Dragon came out.
Sweet. We were so totally thinking these could get really valuable. Like,
all it needs to do is do good once in a tournament somewhere, and then they'll shoot up a Magic Online.
Because you bought it before Shorecrasher Elemental was released, and once it was spoiled.
Yeah.
Which was so awesome.
So I bought those cards, and I sold them all for, like, a massive profit.
You probably got, like, double.
I did. I got, like, I made a lot of tickets out of it. So that was really fun. And I played that deck a lot while I had it.
Yeah.
But I don't buy, like I had an Abzan deck once, but, like, it's so expensive. And, like, the cards go up and down in value so quickly on Magic Online standard that I just kind of said I'm not doing it. Like, I've got, like, a mono-red deck or whatever. But I have Affinity in Modern.
And Modern's a little bit more of a safer bet.
Yeah, Modern's a pretty safe bet. Really excited about Modern Masters changing some of the prices. Yeah.
And Modern Masters could extremely dramatically lower change prices on MTGO.
Yeah.
In real life, hopefully.
Yeah, like, but I don't know. Not really.
Well, you know, Modern Masters 1 didn't actually change prices a whole lot when you go and look back at the prices of stuff around that time.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, like,
but on Magic Online, something like Vintage Masters, like, made Vintage actually playable.
Yeah.
Like, you can buy a Tier 1 Vintage deck for, like, $500 on Magic Online.
And on Magic Online, I believe that Modern... And I could be wrong, but I believe Modern Masters is not going to be a limited release. So you're going to just be able to keep buying
it. Yeah, I don't really know. I haven't looked into it.
Or at least keep buying it over a certain period of time.
I don't know. But anyway, do you have anything else about the Pauper format in general? Do you want to get into some decks here?
Well, it's an awesome format in general. Let's get into some decks.
All right, so let's just go over, like, 1, 2, 3. I've got, like, 5 or 6 decks here, and let's just, like, quickly go over them, and then we're going to go deep on one of them. So there is a mono-blue deck. It's control-y.
It's a little bit more of a tempo deck than
a Delver deck.
It's a Delver deck, right?
Mono blue Delver.
The Delver decks, the Delver decks just across all formats tend to be a little on the tempo side and control side.
So,
and this deck has
both. There's mono black, which, do you want to say anything about mono black?
I want to say that it actually hilariously looks like Theros mono black.
It does. It's a very good deck. It plays Great Merchant of Asphodel.
It's running Gary.
Yeah, it plays Gary.
Great Merchant of Asphodel.
Yeah,
it's hacking it out. And the rest of the deck looks nothing like the Theros deck, but it is running Gary.
Yeah, and I really like this. It's all about, like, little incremental, like, grinding out. Like, you're playing Sign and Blood, you're playing the 3-drop 2/2 that when it comes into play, you pay a life and draw a card.
Yeah,
you've got a lot of card advantage.
Your opponent puts a card from their hand on top of their library.
Shattering
Rats. So it's really grindy. It's really cool. It is,
it's one of the top decks.
MTGO Goldfish, the most played deck.
Yeah.
Currently. When this is posted.
There's Mono Red Burn.
Yeah, self-explanatory.
So there's been so many iterations of Mono Red Burn.
All the freaking burn spells are all common anyway, so this actually looks like all the other burn decks.
There's a white weenie token deck, which is kind of sweet. It plays.
It's got some quirks. It's a cool deck. I don't think we're going to get too into the details.
Like, it plays the Soul Sisters, and it plays, like, Battle Screech and stuff like that. And there's a green aggro stompy deck.
Yep. Play 1-drop 2/2s, play Rancor, play pump spells.
Yeah, that's the whole deck. So something to note about all of those decks is we just named 5 mono-color decks, 1 in each color. Yes.
And these decks are... There are a couple other dual-color decks.
There are. Like, there's a blue-black Delver deck that plays Gurmog Angler.
That one's a little bit on the fringe side, I think.
There's like a
blue-red, like, Nivix Cyclops deck.
There's, like, an Azorius control deck.
Yeah, there's an Azorius combo deck.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's an Esper combo deck, I think.
Sure.
There's an Azorius control deck, definitely.
But the reason why we mentioned these 5 decks is these are pretty much the top 5 decks. Like, there's a Goblin deck in red.
Yeah.
And, like, there is a couple, like,
The blue-red deck is
yes,
quite
the
up
blue-red
there.
The blue-red Kiln Fiend is very high up, but...
Oh, and we didn't mention the Affinity deck. That's important.
Oh, yeah. There's also, like, a 5-color Affinity deck.
Yeah, and it's also fairly well-played.
So let's talk about mono-color versus multicolor in this format. So from what I have seen, and I've been playing it for a little while now, mono-color, you have a massive advantage because you just play your stuff on curve.
Yeah.
And you're always hitting your stuff. And the multicolor decks are always super slow. Because the fixing sucks.
Aside from Affinity, because they're just playing all the artifact lands, and like, you know, it's hard for them to get color screwed when most of their deck is colorless.
Yeah,
and they're also playing a couple artifacts that let them get any color of mana.
Yep.
So there's a really limited amount of dual colored lands in the format, and they pretty much all come in tapped. Like, people are running things like Evolving Wilds. They're running the Khons lands that come in tapped and you gain a life, and they're dual colored. The Refuges.
Those are actually like the what we call best them. Fixing.
Those
lands.
Are some of the best fixing. I don't remember what the name is for them, but they're running
bounce lands.
Bounce lands.
The ones where
you running bounce lands.
Yeah, it comes in tapped and it taps for two colors.
Yeah.
So there's a blue black one that taps for both blue and black, but you have to bounce a land.
And it's
back
not
your
blue
hand.
Or black. It's blue
both.
And black.
Yeah. And you have to tap. Or you have to return a land to your hand.
Yeah, you have to return a land to your hand. So and those are cool, but you're
so
slow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really interesting because, like, I feel like when you're playing a monocolor deck, you just get to play things on curve, and they're always a turn behind you.
Yeah, so it's like when our deck of choice is the mono-blue Delver deck.
Yeah, which we'll get into.
We're going to get into, but it makes such a difference when we go turn one Delver, and then our opponent goes like, turn
land.
Two, set something up, turn one, set something up, turn two, set something up, turn three, okay, I'm ready to do something. And at that point,
they've already taken, already taken like six or nine
you're
or whatever.
Counterlocked with a flip Delver.
Yeah.
That's the dream anyway.
Yeah. So I definitely prefer just being monocolor. But that being said, the blue-red deck is so awesome.
It is so awesome.
I do want to get that deck and start grinding on it too, because it's pretty awesome. So let's talk about our mono-blue deck that we've been playing.
Yeah.
So we've been playing it. I actually posted a video of this deck on our YouTube channel, the FNM Roundup on YouTube. And, it was pretty sweet. It was only a two-man game, just because I just wanted to hack it out and get it going. But this deck's awesome.
Yeah. You had such an overwhelming matchup.
I did. I just destroyed that guy. It was really funny. I misplayed a couple times, but it didn't matter.
The mono blue deck is just when the mono blue deck goes against a slower control deck, it's so crushing.
Yeah.
Because, like, worst case, the mono blue deck just tends to be able to counterspell all your draw, and maybe all of your pieces of removal blow up are threats, right? But then eventually, once it gets to the end game, our opponent is probably running something like 20 land, 22 land even.
Yeah.
So you tend to be top decking things like Preordain and bottoming your land.
Yeah.
And we're only running 18 lands. Some decks go like 16 or 14 land.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Which it's lower than I like. But when you're just top decking Preordains, you tap a mana that's irrelevant, you bottom land, you find the thing that you're going to play, so you make huge draw advantage just by having less land and by having Preordain.
Let's talk about the actual cards
in the
deck.
And then just counterspell the things that matter. Yeah, let's talk about the cards in
the
deck.
So, basically, it plays four Delver of Secrets. Obviously, it's a Delver deck. It plays four Ponder and four Preordain, which is just...
You make so much draw advantage with these cards.
Those cards are ridiculous.
In the control deck. In the control match where the game goes long because you stop yourself from hitting land.
But you can just be like, the perfect hand with this deck is like two land, Delver, Ponder, Preordain, Counterspell. Pretty much.
Well,
I mean, you can do
throw
other
in
stuff.
Some Cloud of Fairies
there. But like so many times it's just been like, oh, I have one land, Delver, Ponder. Snap keep. Because you play Delver on turn one, and then you turn two, play Ponder to find the next land and other action, and then you just go off from there.
Now, interestingly, we're passing on playing Brainstorm, which is legal in this format. So the issue with Brainstorm in this format, as opposed to like Legacy Vintage...
No fetch lands.
There's no fetch lands. So a lot of times it'll be like, I have one land in my hand, Brainstorm. Cast Brainstorm. Don't find a land. I lose because it's two or three turns before I can get before I'm even drawing anything that could be land.
Or in the late game, you play Brainstorm. There's three land on top of your library, and you're like, "Well, I've got two land in hand. I'm screwed. I die."
Where Brainstorm in those formats, it's really awesome.
Oh, I see three land. Okay, shuffle.
Yeah, because you get to have the ability on Ponder where you can shuffle it, but at instant speed.
Yeah. But with Brainstorm, you can also set up Delver.
Yeah, it's really fun to play turn and it. I've tested it a little bit, and it doesn't actually come up enough for it to be really powerful, but just because there's such a downside to playing Brainstorm, but it's so much fun to go turn one Delver, and then turn two Delver trigger on the stack, Brainstorm, put something from my hand on top of my library that is an instant or sorcery, and flip Delver.
Yeah. So yeah, it plays those at one drop.
Yeah.
I think we're playing like a Bone Splitter, which is very popular.
Bone Splitter's awesome. Yeah, it's popular.
Yep. And then and then you just play at two drop, you play Cloud of Fairies.
Cloud of Fairies, that's a two drop 1/1. When it enters the battlefield, we untap two lands, and it also has cycling. What's really important is that it's a fairy because we're also playing Spellstutter Sprite.
Yeah, so for two lands, this is like the coolest play. On turn two, you tap two mana, play Cloud of Fairies, untap two lands, and have Spellstutter Sprite in your hand, which is two mana 1/1 flash flying. When it enters the battlefield, you can counter a spell with converted mana cost X or less, where X is the number of fairies you control.
Yeah.
So if you have one Cloud of Fairies, you can flash in a Spellstutter Sprite to counter a two mana cost thing.
It's really awesome. There's a little bit of downside because while the ability's on the stack, your opponent can kill your fairies.
Yeah.
So if you counter something that has converted mana cost 2, or you put the ability on the stack targeting that, and then they destroy one of your fairies so only you have one fairy, then that ability doesn't resolve. Yeah.
But it's still just completely insane that you can do that.
Oh yeah, most of the time you get 2-for-1.
It's
you
a
just
2-for-1.
Need to be careful.
It's a 2-for-1.
Yeah.
And then it plays 4 counterspell.
Yeah, 4 counterspell.
That's like insane counterspell.
Yeah. We're playing Mana Leak, we're playing Deprive, which
one
is
one of each.
Yeah, so Deprive is a double blue counter target spell and then return a land you control to hand, which is not that great.
It's just, it's fine in the late game.
Fine in the late game.
A hard counter.
We're also playing Logic Knot as a one of. I love that card, actually.
It's very good.
I'm very happy with it. As a one of.
It does.
So it costs X and double blue, and it has Delve, and it's counter target spell unless your opponent pays X. Thank you. Pays X. Which gets great as a one of because you can frequently just use it in the early game to make your opponent pay one.
Yeah,
and then in the
late
game,
in the early game, and in the late game it's like a hard counter.
Yeah, in the late game it's just like okay, pay 9 or something like that.
Yeah.
And you only have one in the deck, and you have no other graveyard synergies, so it's really good.
Yeah,
it got shitty when you were playing Treasure Cruise in that deck.
Yeah,
but that's now banned.
Yes, which is annoying, but it's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Also, that Mana Leak and Deprive should be replaced by Daze.
Well,
eventually.
It could and it couldn't. It's there.
Daze is like $20 online.
Either way, you know, even aside from the price point, if you have Daze and it's dead in your hand, you can really lose really quickly.
Yeah, where Deprive in the late game is just a hard counter.
Yeah,
which is really nice. And then, so the deck also plays 4 of Spire Golem.
Yeah,
which. It's a 6-drop 2/4 flyer, but it has affinity for islands. So it costs 1 less to cast for each island you have. So on turn 3, you can play it for 3 mana, you get a 2/4 flyer. If you have 4 lands out, you pay for 2 mana to get a 2/4 flyer and hold up 2 blue, which is counterspell magic.
Counter magic. There's like, not a lot of stuff in this format that actually has 4 power.
Yeah.
So when you play him, he pretty much blocks everything.
He does.
Having said that, there are ways, like the things that can get 4 power tend to get 4 power rather than have 4 power.
Yeah, so get it from
like
things like Bone Splitter.
Cyclops or something. Or put Bone Splitter on something, right?
And then we're also playing, what's it called? Ninjutsu Bear.
Ninja of the Deep Hours.
Yeah. So it has ninjutsu. It's a 4-drop 2/2 that when it hits them, you draw a card, but it has ninjutsu. So for 1 and a blue, you can return an unblocked creature you control to your hand and put this 2/2 in play instead of it.
So effective, and especially when you combine this with the Spire Golem, which the Spire Golem can cost 0 to play really easily.
In the late game.
Or it can cost 1 to play, right? And a big part of this deck is always having counter magic open. So at like 5 mana, when you have the Spire Golem, you can ninjutsu the Spire Golem, return it to hand, draw a card, and then cast it for 1 mana, and have counters up after the end of that and pass the turn to your opponent, which is really good. You can also do the same thing with Spellstutter Sprite. And when you bounce Spellstutter Sprite to hand, it's got that really good ETB ability where it's countering spells.
Yeah.
So Spellstutter Sprite is frequently better off in your hand than on the battlefield.
Yes. It's so fantastic. This deck has so much synergy.
Yeah.
So you really, this is a get ahead, stay ahead deck. Yeah. If you get behind, we're running two snap, which is return target creature to its owner's hand.
I love the interaction.
It's one in a blue, and when it resolves, you get to untap two lands.
Yeah. So what? So
it's effectively free. Sort of. If they counter it, then you don't get the
It's untap. Not as free when you have to put everything on the stack in a counter war, right?
Yes.
But what I love about this card is that it lets you tap out for something and then not have your counters up, and then your opponent can play a threat which takes over the game, right? Like, you can't attack into it. And you have a bunch of counter spells in hand, which are now dead. But when you cast Snap, you return it to their hand, and then when they replay it, you can counter it.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really cool about this card is that you can cast Snap on your Ninja the Devourer, returning it to hand, and then attack with a flyer. And, you know, this Snap effectively costs 0 mana, and then cast Ninjutsu, which then lets your Ninja of the Deep Hours attack and draw a card. And maybe you even put Spellstarter to hand, and then you got Spellstarter to hand again, right?
Yeah. So,
and having said that, you can also, in a counter war, you can cast Snap on your Spellstarter sprite, and then recast Spellstarter sprite to counter something.
Yeah.
So it's a really, really dynamic card. I love it.
So this deck is... You feel like a genius when you play this deck because you're just playing blue value cards and counter spells.
You have so many decisions. You have so many ways to screw up.
There's I love it.
Very frequently where, like, I get, like, 3/4 through a game and it's just like, you know, I didn't make any misplays.
But I could have done so many things differently.
I needed to, like, I needed to play more threats and just let them die. To try and just one for one my opponent and then play like a draw bear or that ninja the deep powers.
Yeah.
The draw bear.
AKA draw bear.
It costs 2 mana, it's a 2/2 and you get to draw on it.
Yeah.
And then try and get the game to work from there. It's a really fun deck, though.
Something that it comes up a lot when I'm playing is do I play Spire Golem on turn 3 or hold up Counter Magic?
Yeah.
That comes up a lot.
Because comes up a lot.
If you just wait another turn, you can play it and hold up Counter Magic.
Yeah. But are you going to hit that land?
Exactly. Right? So it comes up a lot. And there's so much cool interaction with this deck. I've just been loving it. And... check out my video because there's some cool stuff. Like, you watched it and you said I would have done things differently through that video.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really interesting because I thought I piloted it pretty well. I did make a couple things that I probably should have done differently.
Well, what I found, there were like a couple, the thing that I'm doing when I'm playing is I'm always thinking, do I want to tap out right now?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can get paid off really hard from tapping out. You can also just have your opponent be like Gurmag Angler on the field and have counter magic in hand and then just die from this massive Gurmag Angler that you can't do anything with. Also, Gurmag Angler's in this format. He's pretty good.
Zombie Fish! Zombie Fish is seeing play. I love it.
What I noticed is I pretty much always play Gush as a sorcery.
Oh, yeah, this deck plays Gush as well. Yeah, we should mention that.
Oh, we did.
Did we? Okay, good. Gush is insane.
Because you can float, you know, like, I can cast Gush at the end of your turn, but it's an instant, right? But if I cast, there's rarely a point in doing that, because if I just untap and go to my main phase, I get to see what I draw, I get to float mana, and then return those lands to hand.
Yep.
You know, I'm floating
replay
mana,
one of them.
Replay one of them. At this point, I'm probably doing it at 4 mana, so I have 2 floating mana and 2 untapped mana. I'm probably going to win a counter war if you try.
Yeah, and you get to play another one. So you have 5 mana that main phase.
Yeah, I have 5 mana that main phase, and I have 2 of it floating. So I'm going to normally try and draw into like some Preordains or some Delvers or some Ponders and things like that. And it's just the only time I ever try and sorcery or instant speed it is if I need to fight someone over a counter and I only have 1 counter in hand and I need to go for a Hail Mary. I need to get that other counter spell off the top of my deck.
Sure. So, I just want to ask a couple more questions here, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah.
What are the good and bad matchups for this kind of a deck? So you mentioned before, like a slow control deck
is just its dream.
Yeah,
it's got
because
a great matchup.
You just play turn one Delver, hold up counter spell, and you're screwed.
Yeah.
You just get ahead so far by doing that.
Yeah, you do. And you have so many ways. You can, like, on 2, you can cast Cloud of Fairies. And then it's just like your opponent's on a 20-turn clock, and you're gonna
if they do anything, you're gonna Spellstar Sprite and half that clock.
Yeah, and half that clock. The Spellstar Sprite gains so much value. You get so much draw advantage against the control decks just by having less land than them and be running Preordained Ponder.
Yeah.
Like, it's so frequently where it's just like, my opponent is at 8 land, and I'm at 5. And I have, and like, this is kind of the key point. This is where you turn the corner with that deck, where your opponent is playing more land and probably playing more draw outlets, and you start to counterspell them.
Yeah.
So they're not making the draw advantage, and then you hit your draw advantage, and you play your Ninja Bear. And you, so many names for that card. You play your Ninja Bear, you play Gush, you get the draw advantage, and you out-pressure them.
Sure.
Maybe they land a threat, all your dudes are flyers.
You can also just race.
Out-race
sometimes
them.
They play an Angler, and I go, fine,
yeah.
You're going to be dead in 2 turns.
Yeah, you're dead in 2 turns, and I have 2 counter spells in hand. Play something I care about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love this deck.
I love this deck.
Bad matchups? What do you think?
The white weenie deck is a little rough.
It is.
But you have options out of the board.
Like, if they go turn to Squadron Hawk and you can't counter it, you're so far behind.
Yeah, you do, but you have a Wrath effect
that's
called Fade Away.
Out of the board,
Out of the board. It's a 3-drop, and every player has to pay 1 colorless for each creature they control.
Or they sack them.
Or they have to sack them,
yeah.
Or they sack a permanent, so they can sack their land if they just have lethal on board, which...
Yeah, it happens.
I mean, it happens. Like,
it's a rough matchup, for sure.
You also have bounce effects, because you can, like, you know, bounce all their 1-1 soldiers, and they're just effectively destroyed. Like, Echoing Truth, so it bounces all
everything
creatures
with the
same
name.
Yeah.
So that matchup's a little bit difficult. What about, like... the green stompy decks?
It's not that bad. It needs a little bit of sideboard tech. You have a really powerful piece of hate called Coral Barrier, which is a 1-drop...
Coral Net.
Coral Net, sorry.
That's Coral Barrier is from M15.
Coral something.
Coral Net.
So that really helps it. And also just landing your Spire Golem.
Blocks so good, yeah.
It blocks everything. A lot of times you'll land your Spire Golem, have counter magic up, and then they'll attack you with their 2/2, and it's like, well, you want to pump this... And then you block,
and they go for
pump,
yeah.
And then they just
two for one themselves. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they 2-for-1 themselves.
Yeah, it's really great. What about like goblins? It's a pretty fast deck.
The thing with goblins is that goblins is making goblins, and you can just cast Echoing Truth and get like a 5-for-1.
Yeah.
Where White Weenie is playing spirit tokens, soldier tokens, other tokens, and then just Squadron Hawk. So it's not as soft on Echoing Truth.
Sure. Cool. Yeah, so I think Mono White's the worst matchup.
Yeah, it's probably the worst matchup, but it's not completely awful because you can counterspell their global pump spells and just stall a board and then just win with card advantage.
Sure. Anyway, that's all for Pauper. Anything else you want to say about the format?
No, it's awesome. Good format.
We've been loving it. And you can grind dailies with this deck and make a lot off of it.
Yeah, you totally can. And it's got such a low entry fee.
I'm going to get some dazes, but like I'm not that far away from just from my winnings from this deck getting dazes.
But you don't need dazes. I mean,
no, you don't.
Most
like,
of the decks probably aren't running them. Or maybe half the decks are running them.
Anyway, so yeah, this is gonna end it for the podcast today. Sorry we haven't done one in a while. We've been pretty busy, lots of stuff going on. But yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thefnmroundup@gmail.com, or you can go look on YouTube for the FNM Roundup, and we've got a channel on there. I just did a draft video, so that was pretty sweet. And there's also the Pauper match, and we're gonna be uploading more. Pretty much every other day, probably going to be trying to do that. So check those out. They're pretty fun to do. I would love some comments. What you guys think about them, and yeah, just in general, anything you guys want to mention, we would love to hear some more feedback, and yeah, we'll see you guys next time.